Welcome back. This is the FPL experiment. So if you've never been around, if you've not been part of this show before, this is what's going on. There's three of us. I'm Adam. There's Greg. There's Nick. And the question is, can the three of us create a fantasy football team that finishes in the top 50k? That's the challenge we'd set ourselves. Let's discuss game week 24. Make some plans for game week 25. So Greg Shaw is here. Hi, Greg.
Hello, Adam.
Nick is here. Hi, Nick.
Hi, Adam.
What a week we've had. Valentine's Day, Pancake Day. How are your pancakes, Greg?
I haven't had them yet. I've got tomorrow off work and we're going to have a pancake day tomorrow, Joe and I.
A whole day?
A whole day of like breakfast pancakes, lunch pancakes and dinner pancakes.
Crikey, that's a lot of batter you've got to make there. Get a bucket out for that. I've got a tip for you. I didn't have this year, but last year I had, you know those little biscuits you get with a coffee? Biscoff. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
You can get Biscoff spread in a jar.
That.
Oh, my days. Get that in your pancake with some banana. Sweet Jesus. Mm-mm. Where's Greg gone? Oh, yes, Greggy, you've got it. Mate, honestly, have you had that before? Or have you bought that specially?
Get this all up in my grill tomorrow. God,
I'm jealous. It's very hard to find that stuff, so...
Greg, you know, by the way, that we're on a podcast where people can't see what you're doing. So Greg just disappeared off to go and pick up the fact that he had that in the cupboard.
You're a lucky, lucky boy.
Nick, obviously ahead of Valentine's Day, you said you were going to go to the butcher's, buy a big slab of meat and see what happened. Mm. What happened?
I ate the meat and passed out. It was very romantic. The meat was delicious. A full beef rib, seared and roasted, served with some creamy Jansen's potatoes. So... I would say it was a 10 out of 10 on the food front.
Well done, Nicholas Jackson. So,
thank you, mate.
Some big scores for us this week, lads, in terms of fantasy football. We're doing all right, actually. We're just outside of the top 100K going into tonight's games. So it's Wednesday. We've got the Burnley-Fulham game, which has just finished 1-1. Everton against Man City. So we've still got Cancelo to play. We've still got Sterling as captain. So fingers crossed, because we didn't go for Gundogan. And that was quite painful. But who knows? Tonight might be good to us. But we've also got Cresswell coming off the bench. Do you know what? For the first time this season, we might just break into that top 100K.
And do you know what as well? That Fulham goal against Burnley was actually really good for us, because I think a lot of people had Pope and a lot of people also had a Burnley defender. So I think that was the best possible result we could have thought of.
If, and this is a big if, and I hate getting ahead of ourselves here, but if Sterling does all right tonight, we might actually be in our target zone.
I don't even want to think about that, though, because I was so angry the other day that we didn't pick Gundogan as captain, because two of us said go Gundogan as captain, and yet for some reason, Greg, we decided to go with Nick.
You need to accept I'm very convincing when I want to be. So if you don't want to, you know, submit to my powers, stay stronger.
Why are we so submissive?
I mean, look, it could be genius. So let's not bash him before the end of this match.
Precisely. And do you know what? When I reel off all these stats about Sterling, about Spurs, about Everton, about, you know, the stuff that really matters, and you guys just say, I want to go Gundogan because I think he's good. That's not an argument.
I mean, in fairness, I think Greg did back up Gundogan with stats. I just liked Gundogan and I thought he's taken up some nice positions. So yeah. I will accept that. Anyway, some big scores in the FPL Experiment League this week. Dan Wheeler is still top by 4 points. And Darren Wickham, whose team is called the Dirty Dazzlers, scored 113 points this week. Darren's Dirty Dazzlers jumping up into the top 50K as we stand.
Big up the Dazzlers.
The Dazzlers are going well. Both captain Gundogan. Darren Wickham picked Lowton, who scored a lovely little volley, didn't he? Did well.
Mm.
Pretty sure we'll talk about that a bit more in our differential section later. We'll get into some takeaways right now. Do you know what? Before we do takeaways, I just wanted to ask this to you, Greg, because you're a goalkeeper. So with the Alisson goal where there was a mistake between him and Kabak, who was the one who was at fault for Vardy's goal? Was it the keeper's fault? Was it the defender?
Alisson should be coming out screaming, saying, look, my ball. However, Klopp said after the game, Alisson didn't shout anything. And that's because generally he wouldn't have to, because the defenders know that he'd be coming for a ball like that. So
they just intuitively know that he's coming steaming out 25 yards.
Yeah, because that's what he does. That's the relationship he has with that steady back three. But obviously, if you've got Kabak first game in, you've got a midfielder playing centre-back, I can understand why there was an error.
Anyway, my takeaway from this game week isn't really to do with football. And again, I'm going to speak to Greg about this. This blew my mind that so many of our friends use handkerchiefs. So we had this conversation on our WhatsApp, and I've wanted to talk with both of you about this. Honestly, somebody dropped into our WhatsApp group, our friends' WhatsApp group, to say they might start a new business with handkerchiefs. And I was thinking, who's using a handkerchief? Like, I thought it was a pure granddad move. But I would say 50% of the group had something to say about handkerchiefs. Greg, you didn't say anything on the WhatsApp group. That blew my mind.
I was the first one that said, is this a joke text? It was the first thing I said. I could not believe that it was actually starting a business with handkerchiefs in this day and age. Catch it, bin it, kill it.
For me, a handkerchief, as a man with a beard, is as essential as my pants in the morning. I need a handkerchief on me at all times.
So what,
I'm not,
why?
I'm not joking.
Why?
Because I've got a beard. So say if I get something in there, like some condensation if it's cold.
Bit of meat.
A bit of beer. A bit of, you know, a bit of treacle. Anything. It's nice to have a nice, classy, good quality handkerchief that feels nice in the face, doesn't dry your beard out. Otherwise, I'd be carrying around a bog roll with me all the time. I'd look like an idiot.
So the thing is, Nick, I'm just looking at our two beards side by side on Zoom. And mine is a couple of grades shorter than yours. Not massively shorter, but it is shorter. I've never felt the need to have a handkerchief. And now what I'm concerned about is, have I just been going around this whole time with, you know, bits of treacle, like you said, in my beard? And no one's ever said, oi, treacle head.
I have noticed various bits of smeg in your beard over the years. And I think, you know, you should maybe consider buying one of our friends' hankies.
It would really annoy me having to wash them and hang them up on the clothes dryer like each week, like individual.
Oh, let's
like,
not get Greg on washing. That wasn't my intention. Honestly. Greg, what's your takeaway from the last game week?
Well, mine actually is FPL related.
That is what we're here for, after all. Yeah.
I mean, it is what this whole pod's about at the end of the day. Mine's about the FPL community getting angry about what is being termed the humble brag. Like, everyone in the FPL community seems to get a little bit het up, a little bit angry when FPL players post a really good score. I don't understand the problem with it. We're all here to score as much points as we can on a game week. And if we do, shout it from the rooftops. Call your mom. Call your dad. Tell the bloody lady down.
I'm not sure Christine would be that interested if I called her and spoke to her about FPL.
Oh, she'd love it, especially when we've done a triple digit week. That sort of stuff doesn't happen often. You need to tell her about it.
Nick, what's your takeaway from the game week that's just gone?
So I'm actually starting to realise that three brains could be better than one. So for those that don't know, this is the first season we've done the experiment, the first season we've done the podcast. And when we started it, I expected there would be some challenges when it came to decision making, and that might hold us back. However, I
keep getting your own way and you keep steamrolling over me and Greg, and you found a way to use your NLP tactics to twist our tiny little minds. Yeah, good point.
Yeah, I mean, that wasn't going to be my point, but maybe. In this strangest of seasons, you know, it really is beneficial to get three different perspectives versus one. And I'm not sure if this is the first week, but it's the first time I've noticed our team is higher than all of our individual teams. So is that not what we started this for? How great is that, that we have actually created something better than what we can do individually? And this is evidence in my own team, right? I really struggled the first half of the season. I couldn't get close to that top million. Since I've started kind of moving more in the direction of our own team, I've flown up. So I think it does show that, you know, it might just be a one-off. It might have turned out differently. But at the moment, our like mind meld is actually working, which is great.
Nick, I'm good all by myself, but I'm a force when we're together. I mean, that's a very kind of niche reference. It's slightly annoying for me because the FPL experiment team has jumped above my own team recently.
Why is that annoying for you, Adam?
Well, because I've had a bit of a fall from grace. So that's not ideal to watch my own team slip.
It's very hard to keep up with that experiment train, though. When it's rolling, it's rolling.
The talk is that potentially the double game weeks might get announced really soon for game week 26. Could even be tonight. That was the suggestion on Twitter. It looks as though game week 26, Spurs, Everton, Villa could be worth loading up on. But there are lots of teams that look like they might have double game weeks, though. West Ham, Arsenal, Newcastle, Brighton. We don't have any of their players, but I'm not that interested in owning them. So we talked a lot about maybe wildcarding this week, and then we would have enough players, enough good players to bench boost in double game week 26. One, there's a really short turnaround for us if the fixtures do get announced on Friday. But then also, it looks as though we're going to have a really good first 11 anyway. What are your thoughts around that double game week, as much as you can have thoughts around it, because it hasn't really been announced yet?
I've been saying all week, I don't want a wild card this week just for next week's doubles, because I still think the doubles that potentially could come up for 27 would enable us to bench boost when other people won't be bench boosting then. And I like our team for this week. I don't think we need to wild card this week. As you said, we've got a really strong 11 that a couple of tweaks here and there could again see us scoring really highly.
I completely agree. I don't see why we would need to wild card this week. I think our team is well set up for the potential double game week next week. We're covering all the main teams. I think wildcarding now wouldn't really gain us that much. So I'm happy just to sit on it and monitor it and make sure that we definitely get the fixtures in before we do anything rash.
Nice. So let's talk about selections for this game week. We'll start in goal. The obvious one is Nick Pope. Even though tonight they conceded, they were missing Ben Mee tonight. He should be back for that game against West Brom. It's West Brom. And when they keep a clean sheet, as I said last time out, he is a bonus points magnet. He would definitely be my selection in goal. It's perhaps a bit obvious given the fixture. Anyone else on your radar, Greg?
Yeah, I kind of don't like myself for even saying this because I hate him as a team because they stole my beloved Ben White. But I've gone Sanchez.
Why do Leeds fans get so excited about Ben White? Like, he was okay.
Have you seen Ben White? Not only
I've
is he
seen
an
him for Brighton. Yeah, he's not that great.
He's an absolutely wonderful footballer as well. He ticks every box.
Leeds fans seemed to think he was yours when he was just on loan for a season. And I don't understand why you would get that annoyed about a player that was just with you on loan for a season.
Yeah, but what a season it was and how much he contributed to what was the season of all seasons for us to get back to the promised land where we belong, where we need to be, where we deserve to be.
Okay, I apologise for doing this, Nick, because this was a mistake, wasn't it? I knew we were essentially heading down the toilet with this.
There.
I know.
You went there. Sanchez. Brighton goalkeeper at home to Palace. Look, since game week 13, when Ryan was dropped, he's come in and he's kept six clean sheets. He's like, what, five in the last six? And in that run, like Brighton, they face Leeds, Liverpool, Spurs, Villa. They play some good teams. They're solid at the back. They're really, really organised. Look, their pants up top and they're nothing exciting at all. But against a really poor, misfiring Crystal Palace team, you would struggle to look elsewhere, really.
I've actually agreed with Greg here. So I've gone for Bobby Sanchez as well. So I don't actually fancy any of the double teams in this position this week. I think clean sheets are going to be very hard to come by for Leeds and Southampton. So between them, they've conceded a combined 22 goals over the last four. So that's a no-go for me. Robert Sanchez, Brighton at home to Palace. This fella's not blanked in his last six, as Greg said. He scored 39 points in his last six games, which I think he's massively flying under the radar. Palace with Zaha out, they don't know that's threatening going forward, as Greg said, not scored in their last two. I think it looks like the most likely clean sheet that you can find this week.
Yeah, I was actually looking at Brighton in defence, maybe a little punt on Dunk. Like if you just needed somebody just for that 1 week punt, he could be quite good. Chelsea have been really good as well recently and defensively, obviously. Five clean sheets in their last seven. I wouldn't necessarily advise going for Alonso. I went for him in my own team and it didn't work out that great. But he is the defender with the most shots on target and the most touches inside the penalty area from the last four game weeks. But he's just too much of a rotation risk. But I mean, Chelsea this week against Southampton, potential there, definitely, given the way that Southampton are playing. How are you feeling about defenders, Greg? What are you saying there?
Do you know what? I'm not going to surprise you with this. I've gone for Cresswell again. I love this guy, the highest scoring defender in the game. He's a big favourite of us. Like obviously, we've talked about him quite a lot. In their game against Spurs, like was it back in October? He got an assist in that game. It was a free-all. So even then, when there's loads of goals being shipped in, he's still returning you points. I'm viewing Cresswell this season like I viewed Trent Alexander-Arnold and Robertson last season. He's almost a set and forget. Going to get clean sheets. He's going to get you assists. He's really, really good. And like even if you take away his own individual performance this season, just West Ham as a whole, look, only Man City have actually won more points in the Premier League since the turn of this year than West Ham. Like, you look at the assists that he has been bringing to the table. Only Grealish, Bruno, Kane and KDB have got more assists than him. They're the team that have scored the most corners. He takes all their corners. Like, just everything stacks up in Cresswell's favour. I mean, I say this, we'll watch him go and get a big fat zero this weekend. But for me, he's just, I love him. He's brilliant.
I remember when we brought Cresswell in, being really disappointed. So this is an honest admission. Didn't want to bring him into the team, but he was just like the best of a poor bunch. I think you really pushed him, Greg, and he's actually been great for us. And again, this week, I think this is the second time we've had this happen, where Cresswell has come off of the bench as our first sub with a big haul and is going to catapult us up the table.
I read some mad stat that he is on track to beat Trent Alexander-Arnold's assist record from last season.
That's crazy.
That would be obscene.
Well, he's currently on 9. And
I think Trent got 15 last season.
I wouldn't surprise me. You look at how involved he is with all of their goals.
Probably get 2 assists against Spurs' defence, given the way that they're playing at the moment.
Yeah.
I mean, given that Gundogan can shove Sanchez off of the ball, I'm fairly sure that Suchek might quite fancy his chances.
I really enjoyed that, though, when he tried to head the ball and just ended with his face in the turf. It was so funny.
Nick?
Firstly, just referring back to what you were saying, Ad, I quite like the idea of a new section in the pod called Punt on Dunk. I really enjoyed that. secondly, my defensive choice. So despite the lack of clean sheet potential, I think an out-of-position Stuart Dallas could be a good shout this week. Bielsa pushed Dallas into central midfield for the Leicester, Everton, Palace and Arsenal games. He's delivered 19 points in those 4 games. Southampton have struggled to stay solid defensively recently. Wolves have been better in that regard, but far from perfect. And Dallas is getting into some good threatening positions. He scored versus Leicester. So I think there's a lot of upside in that pick. Don't expect clean sheets, though.
Yeah, definitely not. In terms of midfield, I think it's fairly obvious that everyone this week is going to be looking at Gundogan if they don't already have him and if he's fit, because he's the best midfielder going at the moment, irrespective of price. Rafinha as well is really obvious. We've talked about him a lot. Some of us have wax lyrical about him a lot. Some of us just normal talking. Otherwise, I'm really into Harvey Barnes. I think potentially we've been very lucky bringing in Madison and Madison getting points for us because, you know, that goal against Liverpool, for example, really lucky that nobody else got a touch on that. Barnes consistently is in better areas of the pitch to score points in fantasy football. Madison is still a player I love, but Barnes, shots inside the box, touches inside the box, all the things that matter for fantasy football, he rides a bit higher. And now Vardy's back. I think that probably makes him a bit more dangerous. I think that makes you want to look at Leicester as a team more. And I really like to back the team as well as the player. So he's in a team that I think will do well. And I mean, he's absolutely firing at the moment.
Good stat about Barnes as well. Barnes has scored the most goals for an English midfielder in the Premier League this year at 8.
Yeah, I mean, the English players haven't exactly had a great season across the world, in fact. So it's
he's a bit of a concern.
Greg, who are you thinking about in midfield this week?
I've gone Rafinha. I know you said it's the obvious pick, but it's the obvious pick for a reason because he's one of the best picks this week. You've got obviously double game week away at Wolves and at home to Southampton. Nick wrote an article for us this week for Fantasy Football Scout where he talked quite a lot about Rafinha, various stats. Look, over the last 5 game weeks, he's got 2 goals, 4 assists, 39 points in that process. For a £6 million player, he is punching way above his weight. And since game week 9, he's actually outscored Bamford from an FPL point perspective. He's captain material for me this week.
Whoa.
I mean, Greg, I completely agree. He is the most consistent, you know, other than Gundogan, he is the most consistent midfielder in that bracket. I think he's a must for every team this week. He's still under 3% owned. But outside him, I'm looking at James Ward-Prowse. And I must admit, this is not heavily stats-based. He's not been in great form. Southampton haven't been in great form since the turn of the year. But I just like the idea of a punt on a set-piece threat who has a nice double. Could be a nice little sleeper selection for those looking to get ahead. We know that JWP can pop off when you least expect it. 3 double-digit hauls this season. I was hoping he could be my differential pick, but unfortunately his ownership's just slightly too high.
So up front, question for you, Nick. Would you be tempted by Danny Ings for the double game week?
I thought you'd say this, and I have prepared a line saying here, people will be looking at Ings, but he's only got 1 return in his last 5. Southampton are out of form. He's way too risky for me. It's a no from me, boss.
Greg?
I like him, but I don't really have the stats. He doesn't have the stats to back it up. Like, his goal at the weekend was really
amazing. Yeah, whopper.
And he's almost at the moment sitting outside of the stats, a la Vardy. But Southampton are on such poor form. Like, it's the first time in their history they've lost six consecutive games in a row. But so he's not exactly filling me with confidence. And actually, I hadn't seriously considered anyone else outside of him. But then when you talk about JWP and someone being on set pieces against Leeds and how susceptible we are to conceding corners, free kicks, whatever it may be, actually, he may be the better option if you're going to plump for the Southampton player.
I'm thinking this week about that West Ham Spurs game, which looks really interesting. In recent history, even with Jose as boss, there have been a lot of goals in that game. I don't like predicting results because it's just a man predicting the score. And that's there's nothing behind that. It's ridiculous. So I won't do that because I've got no idea what the West Ham Spurs game scoreline will be. Why would I? But Kane has got 11 goals in his last 11 Premier League games against West Ham.
Really?
And so I'd suggest Harry Kane.
Like Spurs that. Are just so turd at the moment, aren't they? Like, I love Harry Kane. You know I love Harry Kane. I saw another stat that they had the best record before Christmas in the league. And now they, since Christmas, have got the 14th best record in the league.
Yeah, so, but you've also got to remember in recent games, one, they've just played City. And the two before that, they played with Vinicius and then Gareth Bale up front. And Kane wasn't there. So I know they weren't exactly great when Kane was injured. But
yeah,
now that he's come back, he'll be in a different frame of mind. Actually, things could have been really different in that game against City had Kane scored that goal that hit the bar right from the start. And you always know with Kane and Son, there are going to be chances. And if Spurs score, it's more than likely it's going to come from either a Kane goal or a Kane assist.
Yeah, I think you're right. If they're going to score, it's going to come from one of those two. I'd be shocked if it wasn't. But Monday Night Football this week, Carragher and who was it? I think it's Carragher and Neville were talking about the XG that they've now dropped. And they were way outperforming their XG at the start of the season. It was ridiculous, their stats. I think I shared an article with you guys about how in Europe, Son was by far ahead of anyone else in any European terms of XG and outperforming it. And that's not sustainable. And that has proved the case. And as you said, Nick, those before Christmas, after Christmas stats, they all of those stats, all the key metrics, they've dropped across the board, not just from an attacking perspective, but also from a defensive perspective as well. So it's not only up top are they misfiring because they don't have Kane, but they're not as solid at the back and they're not as steady as they had been.
Any more for any more up front?
I've gone for Vardy away to Villa. Now, Nick shouted him out last week and I'm inclined to pick him again this week. Look, he loves scoring against Liverpool. There's only one team in the Premier League he scores more against, and that's Arsenal. But having watched Villa recently, they concede a lot of chances at the moment. They're not the team that was swashbuckling through the Premier League at the start of the season. Like, against an informed Leicester with Maddison, Barnes, we've just talked about as well, and Vardy now back up top, and he's got his run of games, he's got his rhythm back again. He obviously scored at the weekend. I think I'd get him in for a nice little run at the moment.
Mate, I have to agree. So I was going to call out Vardy as well. And just to add to your bit there, Villa have conceded more shots in the box than any other side over the last four, which is surprising because, like, I know Martinez has been good for us, but a lot of that has been due to save points and the odd clean sheet. But Vardy, I think he's a great shout this week. Bamford's the clear pick for the week, but I don't really think we need to say too much. He's got a nice double, second highest scoring forward in the game. Ownership will be through the roof. I think it'll be a very brave player who goes against him or even doesn't captain him. But I think outside him, Vardy's the one for me.
Let's have a little chat about differentials, Greg.
Differential of the week.
Really nice. 8 million or under and owned by under 5% of teams. That's what we consider to be a differential. Some pretty good ones this week. We're still in the middle of the game week, so can't say who was the highest scoring, but Josh Madja did pretty well for Fulham, who was on the Sunderland Till I Die show, wasn't he? He was that guy.
Yeah.
I think he then went to France, maybe.
Bordeaux.
He was the second Nigerian player to score a brace on his Premier League debut. Who was the other Nigerian?
Kanu.
Nope.
JJ Okocha.
Nope. Oh. We're back in 1993.
Daniel Amakochi.
Nope.
Oh.
Efan Akuku, Norwich v Middlesbrough.
Oh. Good quiz, Greg.
So the league table going into the game week just gone, I was at the top with 78, Greg 71, Nick 47. And Nick was going to pick Lowton and at the last minute decided to steal Greg's stat and go for Tarkowski. Lowton scored a whopper. I think the first time he's ever been in the penalty area in the Premier League, but he did score a whopper. And Tarkowski got less points, which, I mean, it's really just a lesson, isn't it, for you?
Yeah, but I mean, that technique worked the week before, so I'm going to go back to what I was doing for this week. I'm just going to stick to my guns.
Last week, Nick went for Tarkowski then. 8 points for Nick. Cavallero got me 2 and wasn't a particularly great pick. And Greg had Lookman, who got you 5 points, but was actually really unlucky not to get more in that Everton game. He looked dangerous in that game. Looked great. Anyway, Nick is shooting up the table. Bit filthy, but he's now on 55. Greg on 76. And I've got 80.
So, wow, you guys must be getting squeaky now. I'm getting closer.
So I'm going to implement a rule here because I think otherwise we're all just going to go for the same guy. We can't go for Rafinha because it's too obvious. Other than Rafinha, Greg, who are you going to go for?
Top knot sensation, Jack Harrison. 2.6%, 5.4 million.
Nice. Nick?
I'm going to go for Stuart Armstrong. I've not checked his percentage.
0.3% ownership.
That's the sort of thing people tune in for, lads. That's a differential for you.
I'm going to go for Vestergaard because Leeds are really bad at the back. And there's got to come a point when that defence turns itself around. Come on. Vestergaard, Armstrong, Harrison, differentials. We'll come back to that next week. So let's talk about our team, the FPL experiment team. Going into tonight's fixture, as I said earlier on, We were just outside of the top 100k, which is pretty good. We've got Cresswell coming off of the bench with 12, so there's a chance that we'll be inside the top 100k by tomorrow morning. Cancelo left to play, and also we have Sterling as captain, so hoping that he can do something for us tonight. Fingers crossed on that. So let's talk about our transfers this week. We've got a potential double in 26. We thought we might wildcard this week. Looks like we probably won't because there's not really enough time to plan. So, Greg, looking ahead to this game week, what are your thoughts? What do you think we should do?
I want to bring Rafinha in, get him back into our team.
Me too.
That's a no-brainer.
Yep.
It's a real struggle to work out who to take him out for. And I would like to bring Vardy in for Davis because we can afford him.
Why do you want to take a hit?
Because I think we need to get the Leeds player in for the double. But I also think Vardy could do some damage this weekend. And I think it'd be beneficial to get him in for it. But I'm not going out on the limb saying we have to do that. That's my ideal. But I think we've got a strong enough squad and our defence is good enough. I think there's points in our defence as well this week. So I'm not going to push for that one, but I will push for Rafinha.
I think if we bring Vardy in, that gives us a headache around who to bench. I like the Rafinha move. I think we always plan to get him back in. My only challenge is who to take out. Like, I thought Gundogan, if he's still injured, and then we can get Gundogan back the following week. I know he didn't get on the bus tonight, but maybe he is back and we can't really lose him if he's fit. So then that leaves us with Madison, Fernandez. I don't really want to lose either of them. And then Salah or Sterling. So for me, it hinges on the result tonight. If Sterling scores, I'd rather keep Sterling. But Salah versus Everton, I like that. I think he could do something. But Salah really isn't delivering at the rate a £12.5 million midfielder should be. I wouldn't be averse to getting rid of him. I just think it's risky with our position and climbing the table as we are.
I want to keep Salah. I don't think we need to get rid of Salah. I think he's already scored more goals this season than he scored last season. He's got some sort of rhythm back now from a scoring perspective. Yes, they're still not hitting all the right notes from an attacking standpoint, but I think it'd be silly in the derby to get rid of him when he does like scoring in that game as well. If it was me and I had to make a decision straight away, I would take out Sterling, because I don't think you can ignore Gundogan and his stats. He has to start if he's fit.
Sterling's record, by the way, against Arsenal is really brilliant. His recent record is great. I want to bring Rafinha in. I agree with you, Nick. I think we don't know what's going to happen in tonight's game. We've got no idea what the team news might be before the weekend. So we can't really say who we're going to get rid of just yet. Madison is maybe the one I'd think about because his stats haven't been particularly that great, but he continues to churn out high-level points performances. So it's difficult to get rid of somebody who's just scored and who consistently is bringing 8, 9, 10 points. If he gets an assist, there's a high chance that he's going to bring in more than just 5 points, you know, based on the performances recently. If you wanted to bring in Vardy, I mean, I've got no problem in playing Vardy over Tarkowski, even though Tarkovsky's got West Brom, and I think there's potential points there. I prefer to play Vardy if we had the choice, but I just think ahead of the double, although Vardy does have the double, and we may well bring him in this next week, it could be a chance that he gets injured this week. Then we've got to make another transfer for the double, and maybe we're using too many transfers ahead of the double game week. You know, it could well be that Kane looks brilliant for next week, for example.
So, well, let's not complicate it. I don't think we need to. I think right now we're going to struggle to pick a first 11 as it is with working out who to bench from a defensive perspective. I think right now we just need to wait and see who out of Gundogan and Sterling we drop, given the team news that comes out on the press conferences at the back end of the week. Everyone else stays in.
I think it all comes down to, for me, thinking it through while you guys were chatting then, if Sterling doesn't return tonight, it's an easy decision because Sterling's way more expensive and Gundogan, if he's fit, is probably more likely to return than Sterling based on current form. So we could get Rafinha in, Sterling out, free up some cash. The other thing that plays into that plan is that Gundogan is really highly owned. Sterling still has relatively low ownership. So getting rid of Gundogan and Gundogan going off is going to do us some serious damage, whereas Sterling is not really going to have a huge impact. So
we kind of want Sterling to score tonight, but we kind of don't. That's a weird place to be. You know, now we've said all of this, he's going to go and score a hat-trick or something. It'll be typical.
No, we want him to score. He's our captain.
So potentially it looks like Sterling is going to leave the side. I mean, I think he is the one that does make sense. Although, Greg, let me just point out that last week, everything that Nick said made sense, and then we went with it, and it hasn't made sense so far.
Well, no, because Sterling could still score.
Yeah, could. So we'll make a decision on Rafinha. Rafinha's definitely coming in. He's going to be our only transfer this week, and he's going to come in for one of our midfielders. Most likely will be Sterling. Captain, is it time for Bam Bam?
I think Rafinha is the sexy pick, but I think Bamford is just too lethal. I wouldn't want to not have Bamford when everyone else is going to put Bamford captain.
Yeah, but then it goes against everything that you wrote about this week as well. Like, since game week 9, Rafinha's scored more points than Bamford from an FPL point of view. He's got 4 assists, 2 goals in his last 5 games. Everything goes through him. Our set pieces, he's the one that takes them. He's our creative force. He for me, would be my captain choice this week.
Do you know what? Let me hark back to previous seasons for me a little bit. Whenever I get to the stage where I feel I don't want to drop any points because I don't want to lose rank. Like, if I'm in a really good spot and I'm like, what do? I always play it safe and I regret it. So what I'm saying is, why don't we just go for it and just stick it on Rafinha?
Get the sword out, mate. Put the shield away, get the sword out, and let's all go on for the night of the round table.
Can we just look at the stats, though? Each game, normally, Bamford is the one who has a lot more chances on goal. And so the likelihood, given the positions that he takes up and the number of shots that he has had over the course of the season in comparison to Rafinha, the likelihood is that Bamford has a better chance of scoring.
I've got some stats if you want to hear them. My pick, being serious, was Bamford. So Southampton have conceded a 9, anomaly, fine, a 9, a 2 and a 2 in their last 3. Wolves are looking more solid, so I'm not convinced on returns in that game. They've only conceded 21 shots in the box in the last 4, which is the 4th lowest in the league. So playing a Bielsa side does tend to sit outside the stats a little bit, so anything could happen. But looking at the odds on that game, Bamford is still under 2-1 to score any time against Wolves. So you've got a Southampton with a really leaky defence who have been conceding goals for fun, and you've got a Wolves side who he might not get any points against, but he's like the bookies still think he could score. So I think, granted, I haven't looked at Rafinha's stats again because I thought Bamford was the out-and-out pick for the week.
I don't think that the Wolves game's a high-scoring game. I think it's a 1-0 either side. It could go up for Leeds or Wolves. I'm not confident. They're very good. They'll just soak up all of our pressure, spank us on the counter-attack, and we might concede a goal or two that way. And Neto's on fire right now, isn't he? So I don't know. Everything for me is screaming Rafinha. Ad, what's your gut saying? What are you thinking?
Bamford, this is a democracy. And I think very much this hinges on the decision of Nick Jackson, because you're saying Rafinha and I'm saying Bamford. And so it's what Nick's thinking. And this is great because we've really turned it around on where we were last week.
I can't trust Greg with Leeds. And you've said it yourself. You can't be trusted with Leeds.
Who are we going for? James Ward-Prowse?
Captain? So, yeah, we're going to go for JWP. No, I think everything points to Bamford. Rafinha would be a rogue pick. I think just having him in our side is enough. I don't think we need to captain him. I think Bamford is who everyone's going to go for, and we will lose a ridiculous amount of ground if he does score. So it's a no-brainer for me.
Okay. I mean, irrespective of what we say right now, I'm still expecting a huge amount of messages from Nick on Friday morning going into Friday lunchtime. Oh, what's that on game day? 500 messages from Nick? Oh, yeah. What a surprise. That kind of brings us to the end of the podcast. What a weekend of football we've got coming up. Friday night football with Leeds, which is generally entertaining. We've then got the Merseyside derby Saturday afternoon, Liverpool against Everton. West Ham against Spurs is normally a good game. That's Sunday lunchtime. And watching Man City roll Arsenal over, I'm definitely looking forward to. Great.
You're not excited about Monday's Brighton Palace match?
Well, that's normally a really spicy game, isn't it? Because there's a really unusual rivalry between Brighton and Crystal Palace. So there's normally absolute blood and thunder.
Oh, nice.
That's a phrase you don't hear often, isn't it?
Yeah, that's a phrase that you hear right at the end of the podcast when I'm thinking about editing the podcast. Yeah. Anything else you want to talk about, lads? You know, anything you want to bring to the end of the podcast?
I want to know what Nick had on his pancakes this week.
I had banana, pistachio and honey. I don't know why I put pistachios in. I just had some.
Did it work?
I should have crumbled them for starters because I thought I was going to crack my tooth. I'm more excited about yours tomorrow, Greg, with that Biscoff in it.
I'll tell you what you might need to get yourself. A hanky. A little handkerchief.
Yeah, that would actually really come in handy.
You can see the team before the game week starts at FPL Experiment on Instagram and Twitter. Good luck with your game week. I hope it's a good double, and I hope it's a really good double for us.